Hi, this is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. Well, today's interview is with Clisver Alvarez, the founder of BlueGrayLifestyle.com and the pay it... Oh, I can't remember. Hold on a second here. The Positivity Pass It On movement, which is just basically her way and her organization to pay it forward. I really enjoyed this interview with Clisver. And I hope that you do too. I just want to let you know there are two breaks in it where we do come straight back into the interview. There's no way for me to fix it, so just listen on. Okay? So up and coming now, Clisver Alvarez.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I can hear you perfectly. You sound great. You got a good headset or a nice mic or something going on there. It's very, very nice.
Can you hear me better now?
I can hear you fantastic. You sound awesome. You sound right on. So we're good. Clisver. This is how we say your name, Clisver. I love it.
Yes, ma'am.
What is that? How did you come about? How did that name come about? Is that like a family name or just clever parents or?
Well, it means clever. And it's, I think, from Portugal, and my aunt gave it to my mom, actually.
Did she? I love it. I mean, because I was saying it wrong the whole time in my head, and then I listened to an interview that you had, and I was like, oh, okay. So, hi.
I'm sorry, I think I got disconnected. I'm sorry. Hello?
We got disconnected. It's an anchor thing. So yeah, hopefully that'll be the last time that happens because it happens on Anchor. Anyway, so Clisver Alvarez, and you are a mindset expert. What exactly is that? What does that mean, actually?
Well, mindset expert, it means someone who helps other people change or help them work on their pretty much when you have a goal in mind and it's hard for you to kind of work towards that goal, and it's a set of mindset means a set of attitudes. Your attitude towards the way you think, the way you not necessarily the way you think it actually means your attitude towards that actual goal.
Okay.
So
right, whether it be a good goal or a bad goal, the way that you go into it and the way that like you set the path to get to it.
Yes, like your attitude towards it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't want to jump into this right away, but like mindset expert is like right underneath your name in like big quotation marks on the interview. And it's like, that's who you have become. That's who you have created yourself to be now is a mindset expert, right? I mean, and you help numerous people with this.
Yes. I specialize in helping women with bipolar disorder in particular. So a lot of women come to me when they have issues with, for example, confidence issues with, in general, with, for example, battling, for example, like mainly like confidence with battling self-image issues, issues with body issues.
Dysmorphia.
Yeah, like body dysmorphia. There's different types of situations, but.
Oh, I'm sure. I could think of 100 right off the top of my head that you could probably help me with. Yeah. Anxiety, exactly. Fear is probably a good one.
Yeah.
Fear is basically everything that is negative. So, yeah.
Yes.
That's good. So let's just jump back a little bit here. So you're a Jersey girl. She grew up in Connecticut. So I get the shore girl situation. However, there's a major difference that you were actually diagnosed at the age of 16 with bipolar.
Yes, I was diagnosed at the age of 16. And at that age, it was kind of scary because, I mean, going through all these other things, like puberty and going through all these other things in general.
Right. And then to have that thrown on top of the mix to be like, I mean, I think at 16, had I been like diagnosed, I think I might have just been mortified, like just flat out, like just like, oh my God, what else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, going in high school in general, like being in high school and the pressure of, you know, being a freshman, being
right,
school pressure, puberty. Yeah, I mean, and then it's like when I was diagnosed, I was put on medication and then I was bullied through this, like because of the effects that the medication were giving. Like, I was gaining weight. I was falling asleep during class.
Oh,
you know, and then it was some a lot of the symptoms that I was also having from the bipolar disorder. And one of them, I think that a lot of people don't like to necessarily talk about was one of the things that I was kind of going through was like the dark spiral, I guess, in a way
that
was the hypersexuality.
Uh-huh.
And, and you know, a lot of people, I guess, don't like to talk about this, but for me, it was kind of hard. And, you know, and also because I think when you're going through puberty, it was something that, you know, you're kind of figuring yourself out too. So.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah, I maybe just because of the age, people don't want to talk about it, but the hypersexuality is definitely a part of mania, and it happens, people. And I know being honest about our symptoms and what we go through is the only way that we are going to get the stigma on this broken and have people accept it as a diagnosis and not as a personality. So, yeah, I thank you for bringing that up. And I wanted to say, like, so I read a little bit of your story, and it was like at 16, you had no voice to talk about your treatment as far as your mental health went. How is that?
I mean, being a minor, it takes a lot of your voice away, you know, being that.
But at 16, yeah, at 16, though, you can do other, you can make other, I try to phrase this really non-judgmentally. You can make other bodily choices which can affect your life forever.
Yes.
At 16 without parental right, but in this, where it's your, you know, your body and your mind and how the medication is affecting you and all this, and you had no voice in your treatment at the age of 16.
Yes. I mean, for example, I couldn't I always had to have my mom present, like even with my therapist, and that was kind of very that was awkward.
Yeah.
I couldn't necessarily like discuss
what
was going on, and I just felt like it was just harsh, you know, having her there.
Yep.
And I couldn't just express what was really going on, and I couldn't necessarily, when the therapist wasn't there, I felt like she really didn't understand, you know. And a big purpose in this was I actually started a blog, and this blog, I started it for the purpose of having other people who understood what I was going through kind of have a support system.
Mm-hmm. And
to, so that I can kind of vent, but also have other people vent and kind of share what I was going through. And it kind of grew, and the idea grew from that. But I mean, at the time, I didn't have a lot of following. I didn't have a lot of, I guess, it didn't really pan out how I expected it to, but I remember in those
right.
moments when I was manic, I remember actually thinking that I was reaching out to famous people and,
I had an
idea there that I was actually trying to reach out to people that were helping me with this blog because I had a purpose. I had a bigger idea, which was to help people with mental health diagnoses. And
right.
Eventually, I mean, at the time, it didn't work out how I expected it to, but I think that my idea was there for me wanting to help people.
Right. Well, it set the foundation, a pretty strong foundation too, to, you know, to build on for, you know, your, you know, for your your company Blue Gray. I don't know if you want to call it a company, but your Endeavor Blue Gray, and along with your Positivity Pass It On movement. And I don't even know what other stuff you've got going on underneath all that. But yeah, I mean, as far as I look at it, everything that you do that helps you move forward into whatever your main mission is, it all counts. I mean, and you actually don't know that you weren't affecting a famous person. I'm going to tell you that right now. And you probably know that now too, that you've been in it a little longer, that you honestly don't know who you touch, because people aren't really going to be like, hey, I was on this bipolar blog, you know, when they're like making $100 million a movie. They're not, you know what I mean? But you don't know that you are not affecting them. So yeah, I mean, to anybody out there, never disregard what you do, because the person that you touch could touch 100 other people, and the effect, it just goes like waves. So yeah, never disregard what you do positive.
Yes, I think that, you know, at that time, I didn't think that I was going, you know, I was thinking that I was doing much. And at the time, I still don't think that I'm doing a lot of momentum, but, you know, it's still building blocks. It's still building
exactly
into what I, my, you know, I think I'm still in the creating stages of what I, you know.
What is your, yeah, what is the big picture of, like, yeah, okay, let's say, you know, here's Klizver, it's 3 years down the road. How has your mission expanded? Where are you in your head? Where are you in 3 years?
Maybe not necessarily three years, because I do have a big goal in mind, and I would love, my main goal would be to just be helping people with mental health diagnosis. Just maybe some type of organization or something where I could fund right. people or help people in some kind of way, because I've had moments right. in my life where I felt needed, like I needed help, and I didn't feel like I was being helped. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is just a big, you know, passion project of mine. I think this is just something that in my heart, I think I just need to do. And it's to help right. people with mental health diagnoses in general, because it's something that, you know, to just help someone else, it's a feeling you get, you know?
I do know. I totally, I'm shaking my head emphatically here going, yes, I actually do know. I get it. I get it when you get that anonymous, or, you know, sometimes not anonymous message or note, or in your case, because you work directly with people, you might get that phone call that's like, thank you. You have no idea how this affected my life in this way, or what your words meant to me, or that, you know, that I feel like I'm not alone anymore. It's humbling mm-hmm. is for me what it is. And every time I get it, it's like, oh my God, I'm actually fulfilling my mission. And it's like, and humbling is the only word that I can, and I'm grateful that I'm sure you are too, that you have been given the opportunity, that you have been given this life to make these improvements in the world, you know, and it's massive. Yes. I think it really is. So, you know, I mean, you do know. So it's like, we're speaking to the choir yeah. here. It's like, we do get it. You know, and to all the people out there listening that we are helping, that, you know, yeah, when at the end, I'm going to give Klizver an opportunity to, you know, speak more about her Blue Gray program and how you can become involved in that. And reach out to us so that you can become well, and then you too can start your own mission in your own area to make improvement, to break stigma, to, you know, to take the diagnosis of having mental health out of the shadows and put a face to it and be proud of who you are and what you represent. Because as a community, we are superheroes. Yes. Like, we truly yes. rock and it. You know,
I always thought that, you know, like someone brought this up to me, and they tell me that the bipolar disorder and the mental health in general, I think, is our kryptonite. And but it's at the same time, it's like we're making our weakness our strength. We're using
exactly
it as, you know, exactly. because for some reason we are more creative. For some reason we are more intuitive. We are more we it makes us stronger. It makes us, you know, and we have so many talents. We have so many other things that because of this, we, you know, it's like and a lot of people choose to see the negative, but we have to see the positives.
They
And
do.
that's why
Yeah, people.
sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go
That's why I
ahead.
chose to name it Positivity Pass It On Movement, because you know we have to choose to see the positives.
I love this. So let's talk about this. What is this positivity pass it on
It's
movement?
the reason I think I chose to do that is it's just simply because mostly I'm sorry, I'm having a little itty bitty.
They can be on the podcast too. I'm good with that. My dog barks off,
The
so
reason I
I'm good
chose
with the
to name
family.
it this was more because, mainly because, basically, it's when you do something positive for someone, you should pass it on to someone else and keep that going and like a chain reaction.
I totally agree with you. So how, what do you do? What is, how is this just like, has this just been formulated or have you had this in action for a minute? Like, what is it that you do? Is it like the, you know, the Starbucks thing where you buy the coffee for the guy behind
I mean,
you or, you know, you buy a
I've
meal?
done a few things. Like, for example, there was one time that I was actually at a pizzeria and I just saw someone there and they seemed, I mean, this is just my intuition. They seemed to be having a hard time and, hey,
So
sorry.
it's okay. It's I think it's I really think it's anchor, but I mean I'm used to it. I know you're probably not, but that's why I'm just kind of like I just go back into the interview like nothing happened because it just is how it is. So the positivity pass it on movement. So what is it that you have done to enact this movement?
So, like I've done a lot of things. Like, for example, one time I was actually at a pizzeria and there was this person there and it was like a lot of my intuition. And for example, like this person seemed to be having a hard time and I don't know if this person was homeless or not, but you know, this person was just there and they weren't eating and you know, I don't know. So I just seemed, I went and I purchased a pizza and I ended up telling the person to just give the pizza to them. That was something that came out of, you know, the kindness of my heart. Then another time, you know, I was in McDonald's and I was actually manic when this happened. But and a lot of people would say, "Hey, you why would you do this?" But this person was actually homeless and I confirmed it with the person. And this person needed a ride and I ended up buying this person some toiletries because this person was homeless. So,
Right.
and I gave him a ride to the bus.
There you go.
And you know, there's like little things like that, you know, when you see someone in need, just instead of pulling out
Help
your
them.
phone and recording them and trying to go viral, you know, give them
Right.
that help or
Show some kindness. Yeah, at the very least, just show some kindness. Don't do that stuff where you're just like humiliating people that and it could legitimately be any of us at any moment that and like being humiliated on tape is just not the way to do it. Show kindness. If you can't show kindness, then just keep it moving
Yeah, or not
because
that. I mean, if you can't necessarily help them yourself, I mean, you can use that phone to call for help.
exactly. I mean, sometimes I mean, and I have done a lot of stuff like that too. I have given people bus money to get to treatment, which is, you know, like 50 miles away from where I live. And I've done the McDonald's thing and I have anonymously done a lot of stuff out here, which I don't even want to, you know, I do stuff. I see stuff, I act on it and I move on it, you know, and it's like, and I don't do stuff for accolades. It's not my deal. In fact, I'm usually more embarrassed when people recognize the fact that I did something because then it's like, oh man, now they're going to expect this all the time is actually how I think about it, especially where I live. But you know what I mean? But I mean, some people take advantage of, you know exactly what I'm saying. I prefer to help in the anonymous way where it's just like people that really, really need it and are not expecting it. And they wake up and something is taken care of. And it's just a blessing to them. And those are the people that generally do pass it on because they know what it was like to be destitute or hungry or worried about their kids, no shoes, no, I mean,
I'm getting
whatever it
chills.
is. I'm you know, and you just
hearing you. Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah. So, I mean, and sometimes really, if you just look, especially like there's a lot of homeless people here, and I don't know what the draw is because this is a terrible place to be homeless. But oftentimes there's not much more I can do except literally make eye contact with them and smile and show them that I recognize that they are still a human being. Yes. With as much vitality as anybody else, that they're just not at the top of their game right now. Yes. I've been there. I've been homeless. I don't know if you've been homeless or not, but I mean, I know that you went through a struggle, with your marriage and your kids and all that. And you definitely struggled. You did not get to where you are because somebody gave you the candy pass and said, here you go, Klosmer, here you go. Yes. Now you're going to be right? I mean, it's like, it doesn't work out. I've been there,
you know, and that's exactly why. Yeah. I come from New Jersey, and it's the cost of living over there. It's pretty high. So I've been, you know, living in my mom's house, not being able to afford rent. Pretty much we moved down here into Tennessee, you know, with a budget of not so much money, and, you know, we made it on a slim chance. So
right. But you did it, and you made it. And there was something I read, and I kind of put it together for you, and it was like risk behavior versus a leap of faith. And you know what? It depends on your perception. You know, because I prefer to think of things as a leap of faith when I'm not manic and thinking I'm like talking to God and stuff like that. You know?
Yes. Right? Well, yeah. A lot of people may say it was risky behavior because at that time, a lot of people were telling me, "No, why would you go over there? You don't even know where you're going." And especially because of that stigma of, you know, you have bipolar disorder and, you know, this is risky behavior. What are you doing? And, you know, and it was that stigma. So.
Oh, yeah. I love stigma. It's my, I hate stigma. Yeah. Well, as a matter, it's just kind of funny because this is your interview, but I just want to drop this real quick and, because of the podcast Global Summit where I'm going to be speaking at, and I am speaking on stigma and mental health. And since I've let people know it, the amount of stuff, emails and stuff I've been getting from people telling me their stigma, and it's not only mental health, but other stigmas. And I'm just like, wow, we need to fix this preconception thing that we got going on in our country of just because somebody told you this, that it must be true, because people are not telling you the truth about everything, people. And, I'm not going to give my speech away, but, yeah, stigma is just massive. And I mean, I know that you're breaking it too. You're doing the best that you can to put your voice in the stigma war. And as a community, I appreciate you for doing that.
Thank
so
you.
You're welcome. Okay. So 16 and, you're under 30 now. So you have really done some growth at, I'm not going to say a tender age because, you know, I'm hitting it late in my prime, but at 30, I was a mess. Okay. I was full blown alcoholic. I was out of my mind. I was not yet diagnosed. I was manic. I thought I was the queen of the cat federation, and I had a logo and a motto and a website for this whole thing. And, I was a manic mess. And here you are, and you've pulled it together. And let's talk a little bit about Blue Gray. So what is this all about, and when did you formulate it, and why?
It was after coming to Tennessee, after having my daughter, and it was born out of the idea of struggle. You know, I think that just basically me going through all these, you know, after me having my daughter, my son taken away from me because I was pregnant, and I went to the hospital. I simply went to the hospital, and because I was manic and I was having an anxiety attack, and I was just not feeling well. And I took my son with me, and I didn't have anyone else with me to take care of him. And they just decided to, you know, okay, you're not feeling well, we're gonna take your son. And this happened, and they took him for 2 days, and all of these things, you know, that I was told that I couldn't do, that I couldn't be a mom because I had bipolar disorder, that I couldn't finish my schooling, that I couldn't do all these things. You know, I think that all these things that I have been through, that I proved to the world and proved to everyone, all these people that told me that I couldn't do, you know, I'm showing everybody that yes, I, you know, you can be who you want to be in life. You know, you just have to be determined. You have to put your mind to it, and you just, you know, there's just all these stigmas. And I'm pretty much just showing people that you can live successfully and have bipolar disorder. So what? And so be it. And I'm pretty much showing women and that they can live successfully with bipolar disorder. And that's pretty much what Blue Gray's lifestyle is. I'm a certified life coach, and I have different methods that I show women how to work towards with through their anxiety, their fears. Like, for example, I had fear of the unknown when coming here. I had fear of the what if of many fears, because you know, one of my fears was driving 18 hours on the highway, and I conquered that. You know, I conquered that huge fear of mine. And I mean, I drove 18 hours and I made it, because the want was so great of the change that I needed. So it
Exactly. When I mean when there, and then you also had, you had a reason, you had a pretty viable reason why you wanted to, you know, move forward and out. And I, you know, I totally respect that. I did the same thing. Well, not exactly the same thing. Not from New Jersey to Tennessee, but I went from Connecticut to
Wow.
Arizona in 2011. 3 days in a U-Haul and with my then dog, Doc, and but I, but like you said, the desire to change for me was so much stronger than anything that was going to hold me back in Connecticut, that it was just like, I gotta go, man. And like, I came to Arizona. I barely knew the person that I was renting the RV from. We lived off the grid with no water, no electricity, and all that. And I spent 6 months off grid and had an amazing time of my life, and found myself at that time and set my goals, which I have so far surpassed any goals I had at that time, because I did not know how much power I had, you know. And I'm, yeah, and so I get that. I mean, I really get that. And I mean, talk about a leap of faith, because it's like, if you screw that up, you got no back whatsoever. I mean, it was like, if right? I mean, I would have been out in the middle of the desert with nothing had I screwed that choice up. But because, and I believe in God, I believe in higher spirit type stuff. So it's like, you know, I believe that we are led to where we are supposed to go to do our
Yes, and
mission.
something too that I've learned, and I think that was a push that I needed at that time, was whether you make the right decision or not, and you succeed or fail, there, the no matter what you do in life, the important part is that no matter what, is there's always a learning le a lesson to be learned.
Yes. There's always something positive that can be taken out of a negative situation, and I know that's hard for people to believe and wrap their head around. And like, I buried a friend in September to suicide, which
Wow,
was the
sorry
worst
to hear
possible
that.
thing that I ever could think. Yeah, thank you. And I mean, there's people losing people to COVID, and that's the most awful thing for them. Eventually, you will realize what the lesson was that you needed to learn from that, and you will just be grateful that you had the experience with the people that you learn the lessons from. So yeah, that's a positive spin on a negative
Yes.
situation right there. So okay, so if any of my listeners, any of the ladies want to learn more about Blue Gray, or how you as a certified mindset coach can help them, or if you just want to give like a little example of what you could do for like you just, you know, any one of my listeners, go for it. Promote yourself.
Well, you guys can find me at bluegrazelifestyle.com. That's blue like the color, G-R-E-I-S, lifestyle.com. And I offer different packages. I offer a 90-minute package. I offer an hour and a two-hour bonus package. I also offer a three-month package, which is a little bit more intense. And at the same time, I also have a 30-minute complimentary discovery package. So there's a lot to choose from. And I work on confidence building, self-reliance, advocacy, creativity, like tapping into your creativity and finding inspiration, motivation, and so much more. So there's a whole lot to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I looked at it briefly and I was like, wow, there's a lot going on here. And you treat it like a 12-step class or course. Is that, did I read that right? Or yes. So, do you follow the same, structure as like a 12-step class?
Sorry.
I said, do you follow the same structure as a 12-step course?
Kind of, depending on the, it's personalized, depending on the person.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I like that. All right. So I'm going to ask you one more question and then you can go and make snowmen today.
Is that what
you
said? Snow today. Yes.
So you can go make some snowmen. So I just want to leave this has been a really great interview and I'm definitely going to plan to have you back on like maybe in October for Mental Health Awareness Month. But so what?
Sorry?
What are your superpowers versus your virtues?
I think my superpowers are just knowing that my weaknesses are sometimes my superpowers, I think, are knowing that my weaknesses can sometimes be my virtues.
Oh, I love that. Yay. That's awesome. Dude, you got to get that on t-shirts like right now. Go ahead.
And sometimes knowing that, you know, you're not perfect and no one's perfect. And that sometimes knowing that, you know, even statues have cracks.
Yes, they do. And they're still beautiful with the cracks. Absolutely. All right, Klizver, will you go and enjoy the rest of your day with your children? I am so happy that we finally connected. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And you're welcome to come on anytime. If you've got an update to your lifestyle.com, let me know and I'll update it on the show notes and all that good stuff for you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to your show.
Thank you so much. I look forward to putting this out. It will be up before noon. I'll tag you in it and hit you up with it. So, all right, go build snow bunnies. Okay. Don't be normal. Snow bunnies with your kids. Okay. All right, Klizver, have a great rest of your day and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. So again, if you want to get in contact with Klizver, and find out more about her, mindset company bluegraylifestyle.com. You can contact her at bluegraylifestyle.com. It's blue, B-L-U-E, G-R-E-I-S, lifestyle, all one word, .com. And you can also find Klizver on Instagram at https://www.instagram.com/Klizver, C-L-I-S-V-E-R/. And you can find her on Facebook, again, at https://facebook.com/Klizver07/. And if you just, if you just Google her, it's C-L-I-S-V-E-R Alvarez, A-L-V-A-R-E-Z. If you just Google her name, all her stuff will come up too, and other interviews that she's done and other stuff. I really enjoyed this interview with Klizver, and I'm super, super proud of what she's done for being under the age of 30, and I see her as a great asset to our mental health community and what we are all up against and doing to break stigma. So, everybody, let's give a cheer to Klizver. a great interview. And hey, this is Dawn Sharoon, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. Let's all stay alive, okay? Later.